Brenda.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking, and I'd like to welcome you to the ATRT3 plenary call number 64 on the 8th of May, 2020 at 2100 UTC. The members attending the call are Cheryl, Daniel, Yap, Pat, Sebastian, Vanda, and Tola. Observers, Avri Doria and Chantel Dorkson. Attending from ICANN.org is Nagar, Larissa, and Brenda. Technical writer Bernie Turcotte is on the call, and we do have apologies from Jennifer and Leon will be delayed. Today's call is being recorded. Kindly state your name before speaking for the record. Pat and Cheryl, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brenda. And as we do every time, do we have any updates to SOIs? Seeing no hands raised and nothing in group chat, I'll take it as that there are none. So we'll move on to action items. Nagar, are you going to stand in for Jennifer today, or are we going to skip over that?
Hi, Pat. No, happy to stand in for her. We do have one action item from last week that I'm happy to report has been closed. And the action item was for the team members to add items of specific concern under each of the bullets in the draft epilogue text ahead of the call today, which has been done. So with that, I'll hand it back over to you.
This is Pat. Thank you so much, Nagar. So the first topic that we have on the agenda today is finalizing the epilogue text. And one of the suggestions that came in from Casey the last couple of days was to consider moving this either as a preface to the document or including it at the end of the executive summary. And because rightly so, putting it at the very end, people will read the document or not read all the document and never get to the reasons why we didn't cover certain topics. So I'm happy to throw that out to the group for conversation as to which way we'd like to go for that. Bernie suggests inside the group chat that we could make it a prologue. All right, I see no hands or commentary as to preface, except there Osvaldo has agreed as a prologue. Tola agrees with the proposal. So unless there's any objections to those particular suggestions, we will roll it in as a prologue. If you object, select no, or if you have something you'd like to say, please raise your hand. All right, so we will make it as the prologue. Bernie, you okay with that? Thumbs up from Bernie. Thank you, Bernie. All right, so the second item I want to squeeze in here between 3 and 4 is Bernie routed around a document today that was ATRT3 detailed explanation of select topics. So Bernie, would you mind taking us through that for a couple of minutes as to what it is, how it's set up, and if we like, we can read through it?
Sure, be glad to.
Thank you, Bernie.
Oh, I see Sebastian's hand up first.
Yes, Sebastian, please.
Yeah, sorry, just to be sure, we decide that it's not anymore epilogue, it's a prologue, but did we need to go through the text? Because contrary to what it was announced, I didn't see any new text since last time, therefore we were supposed to add things and we didn't. What we do with the text today? Thank you.
So thank you for that, Sebastian. When I last looked at it, I did not see any new text. Is there new text?
Sebastian Machado speaking. There are no, but it was supposed to be. We were supposed to change things and to add, but nobody had done that. And there are still comments from Leon. We didn't decide what we will do. Therefore, I don't know what is the status of this document. And Yeah, I think we have a little work to do to be sure that it's our final text. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Tola?
Yeah, great. This Tola for the records. I agree with Sebastian, because if we check item 3, what he states is for us to finalize the text based on the team member input. So what we have just done is renaming from epilogue to prologue. We have not discussed finalizing it. So I think in that aspect, before jumping to Benny discussing the detailed explanation, we should have stayed a little longer finalizing the text. That's my thinking. Thank you. Back to your point.
Thank you very much, Tol. I appreciate that. So if that is the case, then let's walk through what's there. If we could bring up the epilogue, please, then, or now the prologue. So this does look the same as it was before. And I think that, can we scroll down, Brenda, to the bullets? So part of what we had talked about doing was adding some specific items in this area under each of the 5 bullets that we wanted to call out as events that are worthy of an accountability and transparency discussion. And we were going to put specific items in here that were areas of concern. And that's not been done. So we need to get this done soon. Does the team want to do this now? Or would the team like to take the next 48 hours and add this to this so that we can have a conversation on that at the next possible meeting? Sebastian, your hand is raised.
Yes, thank you. I feel that it's not a good idea to do it on the fly here. But at the same time, if between now and the next meeting, nobody enter anything, it will be difficult. May I suggest that the first things to be done is to, as we agree on what it's in pink, at least it will clear up a little bit the document, and if it could be clear that we have to work on the 5 bullet points and we have 48 hours, I think it's better than to do it on fly now. Thank you.
No, I agree with that, Sebastian, in terms of not doing it on the fly, but we'd had nothing added in the last 48 hours. Now, I think the pink is largely entered by KC, which makes it more readable, I think. Thank you for that, KC. And I think that if we don't have details under these within the next 48 hours, I'm going to take it upon Cheryl and myself to get that, you know, to plug stuff in at the end of 48 hours if we don't have any items, because I do think it's important that we call out specific areas of concern, not necessarily recommendations, but specific areas of concern, 2 or 3 maximum per each bullet. So let's make a declaration that we're going to have that done within 48 hours. Why don't we make it till Monday so we can have a conversation if we need to on Monday afternoon. So 72 hours to get that done. Tola, is that an old hand or a new hand?
Oh, sorry, that was another one.
All right, thank you. Wolfgang, please.
Pat, I think what Sebastian has proposed and you have supported, it's also my opinion because I raised the issue with the concerns. And it's at this moment, if we just do it online, it's nearly impossible. So to give her 72 hours to add some language, probably Bernie could, make a more specified draft so that we can work on the text and to add some language. This is better than to discuss it here and now, you know, with on the basis of the old text we had already and during the last meeting. So full support for you and for Sebastian's concerns. Back to you.
Thank you, Wolfgang. KC.
Hi, I agree, I think, with everything, although it would help to have a little discussion about what kinds of things we're looking for. Is this just a to-do item that's being thrown at everyone, or are some people thinking they're gonna be better at doing some items than others? And then maybe we could go through one and just say examples of sub-bullets you imagine for each bullet. And if nobody else has any, I can throw some out and say, is this the kind of sub-bullet you mean?
Okay, so thank you for that, KC. Wolfgang last week had put four or five bullets of areas of concern on the PIR. So Wolfgang, if I can put you on the spot, would you please describe a couple of specific concerns that we would list under the PIR.org proposed acquisition or sale, so that KC can get an understanding of what we talked about on Wednesday. Thank you.
Yes, you know, the issues I raised was that we did see some discussions within the community which has questions the functioning of the accountability mechanisms which we have introduced after the YANA transition. That means questions were raised with regard to the efficiency of the empowered community, how the empowered community works. There was also concerns with regard to the role of the GA from California and, you know, whether, you know, the role of governments. And so that means the whole multi-stakeholder approach was questioned also by groups which were more or less on the sidelines, so that for some people it was not a .org issue anymore, it's now an ICANN issue. And so this was a concerns, and my proposal was not to take a position with regard to concerns, but to say, okay, here we have, we see that there are some concerns in the community with regard to the functioning of the accountability mechanisms. And we would leave it in the hands of a special task force or whatsoever to have a special look into this functioning and to make concrete recommendations to the board, because this is outside our mandate of the ATRT3. It is also too late to take a position, but we should not be silent on this issue, which is obviously, you know, a big problem for a lot of parts of our product community. Back to Pat. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Wolfgang. And so, Casey, along those lines, one of the things that I would, you know, consider putting underneath a bullet underneath that would be, you know, in the 2016 IANA transition, some of the wording from the U.S. government was that the U.S. government would not be replaced by another government or an intergovernmental organization. And the question would be, if we wanted to put specific questions in there, has ICANN outsourced the topic of global public interest or public interest on this specific case to another government? And that would be like a concerning item that if we had a couple, that might be an example of what that would look like.
Can I talk? It's Casey, should I talk?
Yep, please.
Great, that helps a lot. And to Wolfgang's point, and also Leon's question in the chat, who's asking, what do you think failed? I think what I heard Wolfgang say is, it's really not about us taking a position on what we thought failed, but as Pat outlined, capturing what other people have said or articulated in comments and various things. So yeah, obviously I've seen comments about, you know, the role of California Attorney General's communication in this context and the ICANN decision that explained how it took into account that. And I think there are a lot of questions on both sides. I mean, frankly, I think probably neither side is happy in this case with how things went and how long it took. So I understand a little bit. The reason I was asking is also, I feel like I should probably take on one of those bullets since I'm the one who pushed to have it in there, the inter-aisle reports. So I'm kind of looking for what is going to be satisfying as sub-bullets for that. But I think I have a reasonable understanding. It's basically, what are the accountability issues that we see that we can extract from the item here that we think it would have been nice if we had time to take on ourselves, but we didn't, for example.
Right, or if we were starting today and we had a year to go forward, what would be the questions that jump right out to say, these are issues we have to investigate? And to your point, not to take a side on whether it was right or it was wrong, whether it was successful or was failed, but what would be the question that we would be investigating from an accountability or transparency standpoint?
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Tola, please.
All right, thank you, Pat. You just paraphrased one of the things I wanted to speak about. Our major concern is about the aspect of accountability and transparency. But something I wanted to clarify, whether we are saying that during the IANA transition, is another government taking over from the US or is it thrown back to the private community? But ICANN is going to be incorporated in a particular country or in a particular city. So how does it bother us in terms of accountability, whether ICANN is responsible to the host city where it is incorporated? Is it supposed to be our responsibility to be looking at it from an accountability perspective?
Tola, I'm having a tough time hearing you. You're very muffled.
It's very thin. Okay, apologies. Yeah, I'm a bit far from me. Let me get closer to my mic. Is it better now?
That is better, yes.
Okay, I was a bit far from the microphone. I was saying there are two things. Yeah, I agree completely that we need to take a look at accountability and transparency. That's the only aspect that concerns us, not about who is right or wrong. However, I am mindful of the fact that even beyond the IANA transition in 2016, ICANN, at the end of the day, is going to be incorporated in a particular city. So what is the fiduciary responsibility to that city that is being incorporated? Does it imply that that city or the country is in charge of ICANN and not other countries, or they have to be accountable to the country or to the city where they're incorporated? So for me, if the longer we try to investigate, the more we'll be expanding what we need to do. So I'm just thinking that we just focus on this little bullet we want to talk about and leave the rest of the investigation to whoever will be picking up the assignment after our own job is submitted. Over to you, Pat.
So again, you were pretty muffled for me, and so if I'm hearing you correctly, or if I picked it out correctly, kind of what is the it sounds like you're wanting to make a suggestion, which I think we decided that we weren't going to make a suggestion as to how to handle it. We were just saying, here's the issue, here's the reasons why we couldn't get to it, and here are some of the things that when we look at it, we're concerned about or interested in looking at, but not calling for a suggestion to go review. Is that correct?
Yes, I think so. I'm trying to change my network. Since everybody seems not to hear me, I'm going to switch from one network to another.
All right. When you're done getting switched, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll come back to you. Thank you, Tola. Bernie, please.
Thank you, Pat. First of all, reminding us that we had the discussion on the failure of the empowered community at our last meeting, and that cannot really be said. The empowered community is structured to react to decisions by the ICANN board, not to preempt them. And so there is no way to judge in any way if the empowered community has failed or not. So I think we made that clear last time. I was unfortunate or saddened to hear that being brought up again. if people have a concern, maybe they don't understand the role of the empowered community properly. Second thing, we're giving 78 hours to this. So I just want to make sure I understand our time parameter. Would that make it 23:59 UTC on Monday?
That would be correct, yes.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions about the what is now the prologue? All right, thank you very much. So again, we have until 23:59 UTC on Monday, so roughly 72 hours to add items in that, and then we will shape it from there. We're not gonna, I think we should only put two or three per item. So if we have more, we'll try to either get them carved down or prioritize them. All right, thanks everyone. So then Brenda, if we could pull up the document that Bernie sent out today, the ATRT3 detailed explanation of select topics. And Bernie, if you will please take us through that at this time.
Thank you, Pat. I'll be glad to do that. All right, after discussion with the co-chairs, there were still a couple of questions floating around, and we thought we would take a stab at a deep dive as to where we stand on those things, or at least what we have. So the first one is around ICANN reporting that specific review recommendations were completed when review teams do not agree. Why is ATRT3 not making a specific recommendation on this point? And I'm saying that in the context of that's different than a recommendation that we have in our report that ICANN complete the ATRT2 recommendations per our evaluation, but more in the context of a general evaluation. So what we look at is basically, I'm not going to go through every thing in detail, but the idea is that if you actually go through the facts, I mean, the only official notice ICANN got that this was a problem was with RDS2. And let's remember, there are, for those previous specific reviews, such as who is one, there were no implementation shepherds. So once the review recommendations were accepted, they were sort of like thrown over the wall for implementation. And the only thing that was obvious to the universe were the implementation reports. And those were certainly public and published on the review site wiki. But there were no comments until the following review, which is tasked with making sure that the review recommendations are implemented properly, then takes issue with that. So, and the only example, if we could go down a bit, please. Lack of implementation. So there's no implementation guidance because there were no requirements for that on the recommendations, right? Basically, review groups would just make recommendations and again, toss them over the wall and ICANN figure out what you're going to do with that, which, you know, is a bit of a recipe for disaster if you don't have an ongoing relationship with the people who wrote the recommendations. Let's go to 1.3, please, Brenda. Oops, Brenda. May have lost Brenda.
Bernie, what section did you want to go to? I can see if I can move
1.3. We're at 1.2 right now on the screen.
Okay, it appears that I cannot unfortunately move it as Brenda has the rights to the document right now.
Yeah.
Give us 1 minute, please, and we will sort this out.
Okay. I can certainly talk to it. That's not a big issue here. The point is that there was one formal notice that the recommendations of a review team were not implemented, specific reviews, and that was RDS2, who put in its final report, which was handed in to the board, that the recommendations from the previous report were not implemented. The board took action on these and scheduled the fixes, accepted to schedule the fixes for most of these, except two. And I think it's, if you read the details, I think it's understandable why that decision was made. So if we go down just a bit more, I may just end up sharing my screen. It might be easier. Oh, can't do that. Sorry. So that's the only one that's official. ATRT3 will be making a recommendation and talking about this, and SSR2 will also be making a decision on this and, you know, putting something in its final report. But nothing has gone to ICANN. This is still internal. And the only thing that has been reported to the board officially has been acted on. So I think we have to be fair with respect to ICANN in these things, in understanding that the basic situation from the previous reviews created an environment where it was easy to have a misunderstanding as to what should be implemented and how. And that when this is actually brought up, it has been dealt with, but it's only been brought up once with RDS2. So if we go down a bit to section 1.4, so we're going to have those previous things to deal with, and the only one that has been brought up has been dealt with. So one should, there's no expectation that the board will deal with any such reports differently from other reviews. And then the idea is there anything being done to avoid this going forward? And yes, the new operating standards basically require that reviews be smart and they have implementation shepherds, so that there is a description of what is required of the recommendation to implement it. And there is an ongoing link with the review team while the thing is being implemented. So now it's hard to determine if these things will work because no specific review has produced recommendations using this framework, and ATRT3 will probably be the first. Now, we've gone through these, we've looked at them, and I think as a minimum, we can say it's very promising. And if ICANN actually uses the information that's given in there, I think it could address the issue in a going forward basis. So, 1.5, we conclude that, ICANN has been transparent with respect to its implementation of specific review recommendations. No one commented when we produced those reports. No one put in formal requests for changes. Maybe they could have been more forthcoming, and it would certainly have been better if they were implementation shepherds, but they weren't. So it's not that ICANN kept this and then boom, it was a surprise. These things were published and no one said boo. Now, it's the job of the following reviews to review this and complain about this. It has been done once, and the board has dealt with it. Not only has the board dealt with it, it's adopted the new operating standards for specific reviews. So really, the conclusion is, at least to our thinking, is that it's a little early to start drafting a general recommendation about ICANN implementing specific review recommendations. Probably the best we can say at this point, given there is no experience with reviews producing recommendations under the new operating standards, is that, you know, a suggestion that ATRT4 should probably have this on its radar to, oh boy, we're going all over the place here. That ATRT4 should have this on its radar to make sure that this issue is not continuing, but that there is a process for handling the ones that are incomplete, and it seems to be working, and there's a process to avoid it happening in the future. So I'll stop there and see if there are any questions on this section. There are only two sections. Casey.
I guess I'm not as familiar with the RDS situation. When you say there is a process for handling the ones that have happened, that have been judged as incomplete, can we point to it in some text?
Well, actually, if you look at the text, there is a footnote to the board decision regarding the implementation of the RDS2 report. So all the links are in there explaining that.
So what happened with the RDS2 report? I mean, it says that the board accepted the RDS2.
Well, basically, if you go into the details, and I didn't want to make this overly long, if you go through the RDS report, basically, I think we say it in there. If we can go back up to 1.31, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay. So... So the implementation reports for the 16 recommendations from Who Is One review team. So ICANN said all 16 were implemented. The RDS Who Is Two review team's conclusions are that of the 16 recommendations, 8 were fully implemented, 7 were partially implemented, and 1 was not implemented. Okay. And I give the reference to that. In its final report, RDS Two presents 22 recommendations, 16 of which are partially or completely focused on completing the implementation of the RDS1 Who Is One recommendations. In the board action of 25 February 2020, I give the reference to that with respect to the RDS2 final report, the board accepts 14 of the RDS1 Who Is One related recommendations for implementation with implementation shepherds and places one on hold and rejects one. So, there you go. That's what I was referring to as a process when I was describing it. The next review in this series, RDS2, you know, to what thought was the failure to
Bernie, this is Negar. If you're having an issue hearing you,
did that answer your question, Casey?
It partly answered my question. Well, until I lost you, you definitely went away for the last 60 seconds, but I think you, the text partly answers the question, which it says there is a step, but I don't know that I would call it a process because, again, I'm trying to read this with a critical eye of somebody who's coming in. Well, the person who came in with this complaint, like, okay, you guys have said all these things haven't been implemented, so why isn't ATRT3 saying something about that? And it looks like the response here is, well, the board accepted them the second time when RDS2 came to present them. But what happened after that? It's sort of too soon to say because that was just 3 months ago. But I think what the I don't think whoever wrote the complaint at the top that we aren't addressing this issue would be satisfied with 1.3.1 as addressing the issue, because it just sort of kicks the can down the road. That's my concern.
Leon, your hand is raised.
Yes, Pat, thank you. So, I mean, this is just a little bit of history on how this came to be, I guess. So my understanding is that when Hui's one RT concluded, the board directed Iconor to implement these recommendations in a way that was slightly different or significantly different than the review team had recommended, right? So there was already a disconnection between the recommendations from the Hui's review team and direction from the board to org. Then on RDS Hui's 2, Chris, who is the liaison from the board to that group, he signaled this to the group. And the group chose to actually review the implementation or to evaluate implementation based on the review team recommendations and not the board direction toward. So we are never going to be able to reconcile both positions because org received instructions from the board that were different from recommendations from review team, as I understand this. And maybe, I don't know, maybe Larissa, would you want to correct me if I'm saying something that's not exactly how it happened, but that is my understanding. And that is why I think we are not going to be able to reconcile this issue. And well, of course, needs to be dealt with at some point. I agree with that. But I'm just trying to highlight why I don't think we will be able to reconcile these differences.
Larissa, please.
Hi, this is Larissa. Leon is correct. I just wanted to point out also that this was done under a different set of requirements. This was back in the day when these were AOC reviews under the affirmation of commitments. Since the specific reviews were brought under the bylaws, there is no longer really that option for the board to accept the recommendation with a modification. So at this point, this is probably not a situation that will be perpetuated because the board only has the option of accepting or rejecting, not accepting with a modification. So we don't anticipate that procedurally this will continue to happen in the future, but that was the case at that one point in time. With the RDS, with the first RDS set of recommendations. I hope that helps. Thank you.
Thank you, Larissa. This is Pat. And I think that helps in a little bit, but I think we still have the issue, and I hear this and read this in what Casey sent over, is that we still need to make certain that we're not declaring things are complete when they're not. And the way that we believe, and we talked about this on Wednesday, and the way that we talked about that not being an issue, and probably why we're a little more optimistic than I think SSR is that we've said that the prioritization process and the ability to retire recommendations foregoes the need or the incentive to declare that something was complete, and having shepherds be a part of that process is what allows us to continue on so that when org is implementing, the members of the review team that are the shepherds will be there to remind them as to this is what we're talking about and this is what we intended to be and this is not where our suggestion was meant to go. So if you take away the incentive to say we're complete when we're not by having a retirement process that is more pragmatic, hopefully, and that we have remnants of our team as shepherds continuing on through those reviews, that is why we believe that this situation to where we've declared victory when there has been no victory or partial victory, that's why we're optimistic that it will go away. I think that's what we talked about on Wednesday. Larissa, your hand is still raised, or is that an old hand, new hand?
Sorry, old hand, sorry.
Okay, no worries, no worries. Thank you. Any other commentary on that? I think this is helpful, Bernie. Thank you.
All right. Great. Casey.
Casey, your hand is raised.
I like what Pat just said, and I like what Larissa said in the chat, and I wonder if it could be emphasized at the beginning of this text. Is this text going in the report, by the way, or are we just...
No, this is just for us right now.
Okay. Then I guess I shut up. Are we going to put something in the report after this, and that has yet to be written to address these two points, or what are we? What's the thinking?
Toss that over to the chairs. I mean, the idea behind this exercise was just for the group to understand how and why we made the recommendations. This goes into great details to say why we're not making a recommendation. But let's just walk our way through this. We've got one more item, and then... if people really feel strongly about it, we can consider that, or the co-chairs can consider that, I should say.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. And if I could just jump in, since you kind of threw it to us, if we can come up with a short piece that combines what Larissa wrote and what I just said, and we can find the right place to plug it, I think if that helps. To clarify how we tie these things together to do that, I think that would be helpful, and we probably should consider it. But yes, it probably should be part of the next steps discussion. Thank you, Bernie. Cheryl, your hand is raised.
Yes, if I can unmute myself. There we go. Thank you. And thanks for indulging me for only being via my mobile up until now. I have been furiously Skyping with Pat, so anything that I was desperate to say, he's at least heard about, if not passed on. I think we can come back to this, and I mean come back to this today, but I also would like to just say that I think we should note in the text of the report the specifics of the disconnect between what was and what is and what we hope shall be. So I'm just reinforcing what you've just said, Pat. Thanks.
Right. So we will get back to it if obviously the detail of this is not in there. Maybe we can have a condensed version. If everyone trusts me and the co-chairs, we'll sort of ram that together and include a couple of paragraphs relating to that if people find it useful in our discussion on next steps. Is that what I understood out of the discussion, Pat?
I think that is what we heard, yes, Bernie.
Okay, great.
Thank you. All right. If we could bounce back to the agenda, please.
We've got one more item to cover in this report, Pat.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bob.
If we can go to two, please.
Yes.
All right. So in this one, we've been hearing from our members here that where we ended up on organizational reviews is not where we were with the input we got back either from our survey or from the public comment on our draft report. So we decided to have a look at that very specifically and see what that gave. So our first input was, of course, our survey results. How would you rate the effectiveness of the organizational reviews? And we had for individuals 41 effective, 16 no opinion, 43 no. And for structures 46% effective, 15% no opinion, 38% somewhat ineffective. Should organizational reviews be reconsidered or amended? Individuals 85% yes, structures 83% yes. And should organizational reviews continue to be undertaken by external consultants? Individuals, 79, yes, and structures, 90%. So there's strong support. There's no strong support that the current organizational reviews are effective. There's very strong support to reconsider or amend these, and strong support to maintain external evaluators. With the exception of external evaluators, one should consider these results as being consistent with the results of the public comment on the draft report, and we're going to go through that in a sec. So the next input was the public comment, basically talking about organizational reviews specifically. We had two options, you'll remember. Option one was as is, plus introduction of an independent accountability office. And the comments were in a précis here. Basically, we had one in support, one neutral, and 10 that did not support going this way. Our second option was organizational reviews, maintain the current concept of individual organizational reviews for each SOAC, but conduct them as 3 to 5 day workshops focused on SOAC self-inspection in the context of a continuous improvement. These reviews would be conducted every 3 years or more frequently as determined by each SOAC, and the reports of these reviews would then feed into a holistic review. So let's go down a bit for comments. And basically, you've got the reports there. Let's go down a bit more to right. Okay. So in summary, there are only 9 comments, of which 6 support, but want more details, 2 against, and 1 against because does not represent enough of a change. So on our conclusion on this part, option 1 with only 1 supporting comment is not a viable option. Option 2 with 6 in support, but wanting more details, 2 against, wanting to maintain the current system, and 1 against because they want more changes, would make this the only viable choice, even if there are only 9 comments, which is balanced off by considering the responses to option 1. These results are generally consistent with those of the ATRT3 survey. As such, ATRT3 should refine option 2 while considering weak support for the 3 to 5 day workshops and the strong support for the holistic review. Basically, if you go through the comments and you start distilling things, that's what boils down to. So then we look at comparing option 2 and the ATRT3 proposal in this report. So option 2, we're breaking down into 3 main parts, exact same text. 1, maintain the current concept of individual organizational reviews for each SOAC, but conduct them as 3 to 5 day workshop focused on SOAC self-inspection in the context of a continuous improvement. 2, these reviews would be conducted every 3 years or more frequently as determined by each SOAC. And that should be a 3 there, sorry. 3, the reports of these reviews would then feed into a new holistic review. So let's look at 1, maintain the current concept of individual organizational reviews for each SOAC, but conduct them as 3 to 5 day workshops focused on SOAC self-inspection in the context of continuous improvement. The final ATRT3 recommendation on reviews requires that each SOACNC implement individual continuous improvement programs.
We lost you, Bernie.
Okay, I'm back. I see a hand from Osvaldo.
Sorry, I was on mute. No, I will raise it again after you finish. I thought you were going to stop now. So.
Ah, okay. No, my audio fell off. So basically, where was I? So that, considering the comments from the PC, ATRT3 felt that mandating a 3 to 5 day workshop was overly prescriptive, that this should only be 1 option. So the conclusion is that ATRT3 meets objective 1 from option 2, which considers the comments on the 3 to 5 day workshops. The second objective is these reviews would be conducted every 3 years or more frequently as determined by each SOAC. The final ATRT3 recommendation on reviews requires that each SOACNC hold a review of its continuous improvement programs at least every 3 years, or more frequently as determined by each SOAC. So the ATRT3
Bernie, we lost you.
That's longer than usual.
Yep.
Perhaps Carl can send it, please.
Bernie will rejoin us momentarily. He has disconnected.
That's fine. And I'm going to suggest you to get a dial out to him as well. Osvaldo, you're going to hold your hand till the end of this section. Sebastian, did you want to intervene now or at the end of this section?
As we're waiting for Bernie, just to say that in this specific paragraph, Sebastian Bachelet speaking, I think we need to be clear that yes, at least every three years or more frequently, on as determined by each SONAC, but also as determined by the budget we have. It's one of the reasons I really feel that every 3 years it's the best way to do it. Because it staggers everything and it's allowed to have a budget available equivalent for each SONAC. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sebastian. Sorry about that. For some reason, my internet decided to take a walk again. All right. So then we were on the third objective, and we certainly do that. So if we go down a little bit, please. The section conclusion, 3.5. So the final ATRT3 recommendation on reviews meets the three requirements included in option 2 from the public consultation held on the draft ATRT3 report. So then we have a look at the results from...
You want to break for us, Valdo, now?
Sure.
Hello, this is Valdo. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, I disagree with your conclusion, and the thing is, most of the comments supported option 2. Many said that they thought that the 2-3 days or 5 days was too short for a review. It should be longer. But I don't know how can you equate a continuous improvement program, which is reviewed, the program is reviewed every 3 years, to a review of the organization every 3 years. For me, are different things, and that's why that's the problem I have with the interpretation of the recommendation.
Okay, well, I think if we can go back up a bit, I think it's maybe a discussion on interpretation, and maybe it'll never get resolved. If we can go back up to a bit more further, when we have the full text of option 2, up some more. Okay, there we go. So option 2 on organizational reviews said, maintain the current concept of individual organization reviews for each SOAC, but conduct them as 3 to 5 day workshops, focused on SOAC self-inspection in the context of continuous improvement. Maybe this is where there is a disconnect between Osvaldo and my reading of that, is that I think what we did following that is we worked on, as we said in our report, the text says we're evolving the content of the organizational reviews to a continuous improvement program, which will have a full review at least every 3 years. Before I get to you, Casey, I'll let Osvaldo come back on that.
Okay, yes. I don't know, perhaps it's my lack of knowledge, but I don't equate a continuous improvement program to a review, an organizational review. For me, a continuous improvement program is to get the organization improving in its work and how it's evolving. But a review is to see how all the organization is working and to see the, how do you say, the weak points and the errors they are having right now and see how to correct them. So I see them as something quite different. And then I see the review as a review of the process, of the continuous improvement process. So it's not a review of what the process has come to the answer it has given, but to how it is being handled. I don't know, perhaps I understand it wrongly.
Well, I think that what we tried to do, and I'll get to other people in this discussion in a sec, I think what we tried to do, Osvaldo, is, you know, you're mentioning the review is not the same thing. Depends what people are including in their continuous improvement programs, one. Two, you'll remember that in what we're proposing in our details of the continuous improvement programs that we're evolving the organizational review into is that, you know, there's a survey of the membership to bring up issues on a yearly basis. And finally, then we're taking that and the results of all of that is going into the holistic review. So in my mind, we're sort of feeling with it. But we've got a huge queue. Enough of me. Casey.
Well, I had two things. One was this logistic. I think I don't understand how you're, what you're calling the objective of option one and the objective of option two. Sorry, I've got a plane overhead here. So somebody just needs to point out to me syntactically what, when you say, this ATRT meets objective three from option two. Can I find objective three from option two in this text?
Yeah, if you go to 2-3-1, I've labeled them.
Oh, 2-3-1. But oh, three. Oh, it's labeled two. So it's the 1-2-3 in parentheses, the 1-2-2 in parentheses.
Yeah, I made a mistake on. I have okay. Two twos. Okay. The second two should be a three.
That explains that. Okay, and then my second thing I just want to say is I fully agree with Osvaldo. I think what you're describing, this self-inspection in a context of continuous improvement, I don't know anybody that would confuse that with a review. That's not a review. That's something different. That's a self-assessment.
Okay, excellent. All right, next. Cheryl wants to go last, so Tola.
Okay, thank you. Just Tola, for the record. I'm towing the same line as Casey and Osvaldo. But two things that just came to me straight away. If within the short group of ourselves here, and some of us are finding it difficult to understand what we have written, then we can understand when we leave this document to the public, how some portion of the public will find it difficult to interpret. What that implies to me is for us to make this as simplified as possible so that it can be easily interpreted by those that are reading it. Okay, because if we're, straight away, I don't see continuous improvement as equivalent to organizational review. That's the first point I needed to make. But the second point is the language we use must be free-flowing such that people don't need to be checking what we intended to write. So I don't know how we're going to change that. Even after we have concluded on which one is right, is continuous improvement the same as organizational review or otherwise? Once we are done with that, then we may need to check the free flowing of the language we have used such that people will not be questioning what we intended to achieve with what we have written. Thank you. Back to you, Ben.
All right. Thank you, Tola. Larissa.
Thank you very much. Coming from the perspective of having supported
the last cycle of organizational reviews, just have a couple of observations that might be helpful here. Many of the commenters, including the board, I believe, indicated that they wanted more details. And I remember discussions when the team was working through some of these ideas that went into option two. And in fact, there was agreement that further details would have to be evolved as time went on. So I think maybe part of this is just a matter of trying to understand those other aspects and also tying it back to how this new proposed structure for replacing or evolving organizational reviews would still uphold the intent of the bylaws and for especially the particular point on the independent nature of the review of different structures. So there's been a lot of criticism and a lot of input over the time that we've been conducting this wave of organizational reviews. Some of it was expressed very publicly. I know RSAC had issued a statement, and there were many others. As a matter of fact, there was some really useful public comment on a couple of years ago on ideas for streamlining reviews, and more recently, maybe about a year ago or so, when the board put out a proposal for how organizational reviews could be streamlined. This was right before ATRT3 started doing their work, and there was public comment on that. So perhaps it's a matter of stepping back and looking at what the real problems were with organizational reviews and how the different groups commented on that, and what how to take all that and also demonstrate that whatever the way forward is that ATRT3 chooses meets most of those objectives. Perhaps that part is not completely clear yet and might help in addressing this particular topic. Thank you.
Thank you, Larissa. Casey, I'm going to give Pat a chance since it's his first go at it, and then I'll come back to you. Pat?
Thanks, Bernie. I may have heard you wrong, Larissa, on this, but I'm not certain that we're trying to make suggestions that fit within the bylaws, when what we're hearing from the community is that what's in the bylaws isn't working. And so in migrating to a continuous improvement program, you know, each SO or AC has the ability to develop their own approach to what their continuous program looks like. You know, all that we've said is that within 18 months there needs to be a plan in place, and how that continuous improvement program works is going to be different, and it's going to have flexibility for each of the organizations. And I think one of the things we said on Wednesday, which addresses other comments that have been made, is that I'm not certain it makes a difference if we come up with 12 recommendations every 3 years or 12 recommendations over 3 years. And it's a matter of how do you want to work in a program? How do you want to have each SOAC view their own continuous improvement program? And it will be tailored, I imagine, to each group as to how they will do that and how they want to work. But it's really designed to provide some flexibility in what works for each SO and AC, and to get away from these monolithic organizational reviews that clearly the survey and other conversations we've had show dissatisfaction. So thank you.
Thank you for that, Pat. Tola, is that an old hand?
I'm sorry, that's been an old
hand. All right, thank you. And I see Leon. We'll give Leon, since this is his first chance, and then I'll get back to Casey and Cheryl. Leon.
Thanks, Bernie. Now, I just want to add to what Larissa was describing, and I want to remind us that the board was supportive of option two, but it clearly expressed that we needed more details in many ends. So it would be useful if in some way we fleshed out in the report a little bit of you know, trying to reply to those doubts or those questions that were raised in the board's assessment of option two. I think that would be very useful and would also help address other groups' questions and concerns, I guess.
Is that it, Leon? Yes, okay. Yep. Casey.
Cheryl might have been before me. Oh, she took her hand down. Oh, no. There's two Cheryls.
Cheryl wants to go last, so okay. You're next, and then Cheryl goes last.
Okay, great. All right, so I guess I heard Larissa differently than Pat did. I thought Larissa was suggesting that the important part about our explanation here is how it addresses the intention in the bylaws about accountability. And again, I still think the accountability issue is key here, not like the cadence of whatever reviews happening. So if we want to replace what's in the bylaws now with something else, I just think, and this is what I've been saying for months, that I don't understand how what we're suggesting addresses the objective in the bylaws for accountability, which I think one of the key words they use in the bylaws is independent. And what you're replacing the reviews here with is something that's not independent, as if the SOs and ACs are basically need to be accountable to themselves, but no one else. That's not what the point of accountability is, or the point of all these reviews in the bylaws. So that's where my confusion is. And I should say that the self-assessment part of the reviews, of the organizational reviews, already happens. ESSAC had to go through a self-assessment, RSAC had to go through self-assessment. I take the point that Larissa made also that RSAC wasn't too happy with the external review process and thought they missed some stuff. I think that's all part of the process. And I'm perfectly fine with RSAC complaining about that after the fact, as long as it's all on paper that different independent angles on this problem found different things. I think that's good for the community. Never mind that there were some disagreements there. Those need to be worked out, and that should be also part of the process. But I think what you're suggesting, what the team seems to be suggesting here, is to just get rid of the independent part of the review process and leave the self-assessment part, which means get rid of what I believe the bylaws intended to be the accountability lever. And I am continue to be fully perplexed by that decision.
All right, Casey, thank you. Osvaldo, and then
Osvaldo next in.
Yeah. Hey, this is Osvaldo. Should I talk now or wait?
Oh, you're up, Osvaldo.
No, I agree with what Casey said. We are, on one side, taking out the external consultants for the work, and on the other side, we are leaving all to our own organizations, whereby it's possible that a group of members of each organization, the majority or not, they could control the organization in some way. All the changes that are needed, there is going to be a subjective view of the organization and not an objective view. That's what the organizational review are looking for. They want to somebody from outside to look at the organization and see how it's working. We are taking out the external consultants, and then we are turning the organizational review into a continuous improvement program that could be very light. It depends on the organization and how the different groups in its inside it control it. And you may be leaving some minority representative with no possibility of making any changes they might need. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Osvaldo. Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Cheryl Linton, for the record. I would love to know how a minority representative gets their voice heard, leveraged, and a majority support other than by a strong argument, which can occur in any of these models. But perhaps that's just my naivety, Osvaldo, and my lack of apparent experience in this field. That was not a joke. What is apparent to me is that we seem to be thinking about this somehow decoupled from the parallel and integrated plan of holistic reviews, which of course, just like any of the formal points of organizational review that is outlined in option two, that is those punctuation points of review that occur within the context of a continuous improvement program, and most of the at least modern quality systems that at least I'm familiar with, the difference between having more regular internal audits that check on an organizational state, health, accountability and transparency, or indeed fitting with regulatory processes, which is where I've worked most of my last 20 years of working life in, but also a very essential part of a wider, broader and often external, certainly externally qualified in terms of what needs to be done and what needs to be checked, less periodic review. So those regular in the ISO systems, external audits is the term that is frequently used. And I guess I'm thinking about option two and the way it works with holistic reviews based on that experience and knowledge. I'd also like to suggest that, of course, that what happens in at least the existing model of organisational reviews, with our apparent benefit of accountability by using something termed independent as an external examiner, is how that is in any way, shape or form other than a, I'd venture to say, necessary in a more immature organisation than a maturing one, process, can't be changed. I also doubt very much, based on not inconsiderable experience in reviews across a number of parts of ICANN since the very beginning of them, and well in advance of the current model, that the mere presence of having an external examiner doesn't make it any more or less accountable, and certainly doesn't make it any more or less transparent. But that aside, I think we need to look at what we need to expand on to meet the questions that were raised. This could, of course, be some implementation guidelines, because a lot of this can be done in the gory details in implementation guideline. I'd like to thank Leon in advance for putting himself forward to work with a couple of us to make sure we answer the very particular, and I must say most of them eluded me, questions that the board had on this area, to make sure that we have dotted the I's and crossed the T's. And I guess as a personal statement, I have no problem changing bylaws. And I certainly have been involved in the development of each of the bylaws since the concept of reviews in any way, shape or form have been part of ICANN. So I look forward to continuing with that. So we need to move on, but we also need to make sure that we don't decouple what we've said in terms of the importance of holistic reviews as part of an overall set of the package talking about reviews. Thank you. Back to you, Pat.
Thank you, Cheryl. Bernie, do we have anything else we wanted to cover in section two of this document?
No, I think we're done on this topic.
All right, then let's go back to the agenda, please. Actually, we're at 1 hour and 15 in, and we had talked previously
if
about
take a break.
Yes.
If you want to take a break, that's important. But I think we need to come back to putting a little bit of text or agreeing to the putting of a little bit of text that picks up on the earlier discussion, because I think some of what's been discussed as we've gone through this document has highlighted things that do need to be drafted and included, not in terms of necessarily changing in inverted commas recommendations, close inverted commas, but certainly in terms of explanatories and some caution or delimiting factors. So Pat, we need to come back to that after before we move on. Thanks.
So, okay, thanks, Cheryl. So that was the text to talk about how we are looking at the recommendations and how we believe that they will be more accountable and transparent in terms of getting completed or retired appropriately, correct?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, because I thought what we had decided on that was that we would take that text and we would work that into the document with you and I, and then have Bernie put it in an appropriate place. If we want to work through that text, we got to write something up and put it to the team. But I felt like we had enough from the team to do that and get that put, and then identify where it is. But if we want to walk through that and look at what that might look like, I'm not certain we want to build that on the fly. But how do you want to move forward? Let me then put it to the team. For that particular text, are you guys okay with Bernie and Cheryl and I putting together a brief, some brief verbiage, and then putting that to the team for review and approval? Again, it's not changing recommendations. It is clarifying.
I agree.
Okay, so if there's no opposition to that, or if there is opposition, please select no. I see nothing in chat and nothing, no no's in the participant window. So so we will do that. And we'll identify where it is and make sure that you guys see it and look at it. All right, so let's go ahead and take 5 minutes then. And be back at 6:23. I'm sorry, 23 past the hour. Thank you for starting us back up again, Brenda. All right, so the next item we've got is the discussion of next steps. And I think what we have, and this is what we want to talk about now, is the following. We need to complete the prologue, you know, get the specific concerns that we have finalized, complete the text that we just talked about before the break, get minority statements in by next Friday, close of business, and then shape up the document and submit. And in that process, we would take a look at the prologue and the clarifying text at 2300 UTC on Wednesday of next week.
Pat, do you mean as at that time?
I'm sorry?
Or that we'll meet at that time?
We will meet at that time. We will get everything in by, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was confused, if I confused people. We will have the prologue text and the clarifying text available late on Monday, because we're going to be done with the prologue stuff on 2359. Actually, that's probably not doable, given that it's at the end of the day. But on Tuesday, we'll have that text out for people to look at, and we will talk about it on Wednesday and close that text out on Wednesday at 2300 UTC. get the minority positions in or minority statements in by close of business on Friday of next week. And then we will finish up the document, put it together for everyone to see, and we will then submit. Questions or concerns from or support for that process? Cheryl's thumbs up. Vonda, I get a green check. Sebastian is supportive. Thumbs up from Daniel. All right, I see no objections either in the participant window or in the group chat. So that will be the course of action for next week. We'll get that documented and send that out. All right, do we have any other business at this time? Sebastian, Wolfgang, is that a check mark to say we have it? We have other business?
No, no other business at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolfgang. All right, if we have no other business, Nagar, will you go through the action items that we have identified for today?
Would be happy to, Pat. So here are the items I've captured so far. The review team decided to change the epilogue to prologue. Review team members are to review and provide input on the prologue by 2359 UTC on Monday in preparation for the plenary discussion on Wednesday. Pat and Cheryl to work with Bernie to put in clarifying text around the implementation, the disconnect between ICANN org's reporting of implementation versus the community perception of implementation that is due by 2359 UTC on Tuesday. Both of these texts are to be presented to the review team on Wednesday and to be finalized. Minority statements are to be submitted by next Friday by 2359 UTC. Next Friday is 15th of May. And last but not least, all of these documents are going to be put together, completed after the Friday input and sent to the review team for review. Please let me know if I've missed anything.
No, Nagar, thank you very much. The only thing I would clarify is that when we send them back out to the team for review, the documents are closed at that point in time.
Thanks, Pat. Noted.
Thank you. Bernie, your hand is raised.
Yes, Nagar, those texts, it includes both items. It includes the implementation of review recommendations and the organizational reviews.
Thanks, Bernie. Appreciate the clarification. I'll put it in.
All right. Thank you all very much. Cheryl, closing words?
Other than thanking everybody for all of the discussion today, it really is important at this end of our process to get as much of these niggling little issues aired and sorted out. And I think we're in a better situation because of it. So thanks to one and all for the effort they've made today and, of course, leading up to today.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Have a nice weekend.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, for everyone.
Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.